Welcome to another episode of the Sparkles of Gold Astrology Manifesto Podcast. My name is Nicolas Polymanakos, aka Sparkles of Gold. I thought I'd start off the podcast with a wild evil laugh right there, just for kicks. I almost didn't do this podcast. I was like, well, it's Sunday night. I've been kind of doing these, trying to do it weekly. And then I got all these other tasks in front of me, a YouTube video, some client work and all that. But I'm like, you know, I'm in a mood today. I'm actually need to have a little bit of fun and switch it up. So I press record and here we are. I'm going to talk about the 30th of January to Sunday, February 5th. I'm recording this later Sunday night on the West Coast. I'll talk about a few of the aspects that I see this week and anything else that rolls into my brain, because there's a lot going on in my brain right now. And so on and so forth. So let's get to it. We're going to go with Monday here. Monday, the lunar day. That's why we call it moon day, Monday. And speaking of, at 12:34 a.m. Pacific time, the moon moves into Gemini. Chatty moon of Gemini, always ruled by Mercury. We look to see where Mercury is currently in the sky, which is in Capricorn. It still hasn't left there yet. It's moving a little bit faster, but it's still in that Capricorn, serious, pragmatic realm of things. And anyway, that is the basis of the Gemini moon. But I think it's interesting. I like to mention the Gemini moon these days because, later on that night, like at 8:26 p.m. Pacific, the moon makes its conjunction with Mars and Gemini in the sky. Now, as you know, Mars, or maybe you don't know, but Mars has been in the sign of Gemini since August 2022. And then it did a retrograde cycle that started at the end of October of 2022 and then just got done several weeks ago. So Mars is here for a while. It's not going to leave Gemini until the end of March. So it's always interesting, I think, when the moon in Gemini hits this place and it's 10 degrees of Gemini, and it's a focal point, 8, 9, 10 degrees here for anybody who's got mutable signs in that place, or if you happen to have Gemini stuff at 8, 9, or 10, you've definitely been on the Gemini wild roller coaster of the mind train and wired. You almost have to be thankful for a Mercury in Capricorn that's not retrograde anymore, that's moving forward and has a little bit of stability. So, you know, that is Monday. I also will say right around that time, about an hour later, that moon in Gemini, 10 degrees, you know, it's going to get closer to 11 degrees within the hour, and it's going to make a trine with the sun in Aquarius. The luminaries are vibing, right? And this is good. And this is a continuation of a story that is connected to Mars and Gemini and to Saturn and Aquarius. Saturn, at this moment, being at 25 degrees, this is a place wherever you do have Gemini in your chart and Aquarius in your chart, you've had this story of Saturn Mars the last several months, whether they've been in an exact relationship with each other or they're, you know, trining and harmonizing by sign. When the moon comes through like this, it triggers those points in a good way. And this is a higher mind level thing. And they speak a secret language to each other, Gemini and Aquarius, both being air signs. It's kind of like this psychic, intuitive, electric mind meld of a conduit of information that can happen. But you know that sun in Aquarius is going to take the vibe with a Gemini mind and take things to experimental new a level of higher thought, and that Gemini moon digs it, loves it, and the moon's right there too, Mars is around and Saturn's around in the sign helping to like contain it and give it structure. Yeah, just another Monday, right? We get to Tuesday, that moon still in the mutableness of Gemini is going to make a sextile like 1:24 a.m. in the morning to Chiron and Aries, which is a great thing. Chiron needs some mind processing from the lunar level, so it's not all like serious heavy emotions, but it's more of the of how the mind and the Gemini moon processes the wounds of Chiron and Aries and kind of looking at it from an objective point of view, maybe different points of view, but have that little bit of something, because Chiron, you know, has been taking some hits from, you know, Mercury in Capricorn recently squaring it. And whenever anything's in a cardinal sign, you know, it's going to square that Chiron. But, you know, it's good to have a little bit of relief here. Chiron needs it. Down the line here, you know, Jupiter is going to be connect in Aries, and the sky is going to be connected to Chiron. And Venus in Aries will connect to Chiron. And that's for another podcast for down the line. Later on Tuesday, 11:20 p.m. Pacific, that moon in mutable sign of Gemini will be squaring the Neptune in Pisces, the other mutable sign here. Neptune is currently like at 23 degrees, and this is a, you know, mutable square, as they call it. So, you know, here there's some confusion. This is a little too much chatter, a little too much, not enough boundaries with the chatter, you know, and that's what Neptune's bringing. And when two mutable signs like that get together, they call that a 90 degree square. So they kind of square off. There's a little bit of challenge. At this point, you know, that what's been building up all day, it's exact the Tuesday night. So just calm the mind, will you? It's not worth arguing. It's not worth going there, not worth pushing it. And there's a state of confusion, possibly, especially if you're connected to Gemini and Pisces planets in your chart. Then we are getting to Wednesday, Mercury Day, and it is February 1st. Can you believe it? It is February 1st, 2023. That moon in the middle of the night is going to make a final connection with Saturn and Aquarius, which is great. And then later on in the day, around just after noon at 12:11 p.m. Pacific, the moon enters the sign of Cancer. I don't want to forget, right before that, half an hour before that too, because I'm looking at my notes here. The sun in Aquarius makes a harmonious sextile to Chiron and Aries too. So, you know, the moon did this not too long before, I mentioned on the Tuesday, and here's the sun helping out Chiron and Aries. This is good. And again, it's a more high-level mind quality vibes to help the Chiron and Aries deal with the process and ongoing process and evolution with dealing with their wounds and how to not just apply salve to their wounds, but to use their mind to apply that wound that they see in other people. Remember, that's a big part of the Chiron story, you know, is not just the wounds you have there. If you're in Aries that have, you know, Aries planets at 10, 11, 12, 13 degrees right now, or you were born with Chiron and Aries, that, you know, you got some mind power here for 48 hours to help you out. We get into the next day, Thursday, Jupiter Day. And the moon in Cancer is going to make a harmonious relationship, 120 degree relationship trine at 4:14 a.m. to Venus in Pisces, which, at this point, I'm kind of moving my data here in front of me. Let me get here. At this point, Venus is like at around 8 degrees on Thursday. So we got watery emotional place. We just went from the mind of Gemini and it connecting in certain ways with Mars and Gemini early in the week. Super mind fluttering power and scatteredness of times. But now we get into this moon watery emotional place with the Cancer moon and it vibing to the romantic, ethereal, beautiful, sweet, dreamy Venus in Aries. That's at 8 degrees. And here we have some beauty going on and beauty within the home, within our hearts, within our bellies. And I say that because of Cancer moon and wanting to fill our bellies and be comfortable. This is a good thing, you know, and I like it when water signs are vibing with each other to have a little bit of that, considering the transits we've had and sometimes the toughness of them. We need the sensitivity of water, the safety of water, and the freedom and safety in a comfortable a place to process our emotions and to go through our emotions, not in the moon in Gemini mental way, but in a different way that sometimes doesn't have anything to do with words. It just has to do with flowing emotions and letting them go where they may. And that is part of processing emotions. So that happens there. The moon also makes, like an hour later, it makes a sextile, which is an opportunistic relationship to the North Node in Taurus. Now you have that watery moon at the same time vibing with Venus in Pisces, vibing with the North Node in Taurus, which is ruled by Venus, and the North Node is at 8 degrees, and Venus is at 8 degrees too. So you have this kind of like harmonious grand trine in water, or no, in two signs in water. And then this, let me go back here. It's not a grand trine. The moon is making a trine with Venus, and then the moon's making a sextile with Earth sign Taurus. Both interesting free-flowing aspects. Definitely a good chill day here, and make sure you're hydrated, make sure you're eating good food and that your senses are engaged in a good way. Good music, good conversation. Your feet are to the ground. Can you have the opportunity here, Northern Hemisphere wintertime, to put your bare feet in the grass or ground? I don't know, it might be cold depending on where you are, but you get the metaphor about emotional content lapping up against the stability and chill vibe of Taurus, and they support each other. Good day vibe wise. I mean, there's other things I could look at that day. I get into, there's the moon is going to square Chiron. And then not too long later after that, the moon's going to make a sextile with, the 14 degrees Taurus, Uranus and Taurus. Don't want to give you too much information because this is leading up to some other stuff. So when we get to Friday, Venus day, Aphrodite's day, that moon is then going to make a harmonious relationship and trine with Neptune in Pisces. So after doing with Venus in Pisces the day before, Cancer moon moves towards a beautiful connection with Neptune in Pisces, and we have a continuation of the dream and a feel good and of emotional, an emotional narrative and story to swim through. That's one way to do it. There's some creative element to this particular connection. And so you got a day here, like a 24 hours. There's some aspects that can be tough, but you got a 24 hours where you have water, the moon in Cancer hitting some earth, planets. And then Earth Taurus sign, and then vibing with Neptune and Venus and Pisces. But at the same time, you kind of have this side story too, where this moon is also going to make an opposition to Mercury in Capricorn, and then finally, eventually, an opposition to Pluto in Capricorn. So it feels good for a while, but at the end of the Cancer moon story for the 2.5 days, you do have on Friday night, moon opposite Pluto. I think another interesting thing that happens, though, on Friday that could throw a curveball into the feel-good emotional thing is the sun in Aquarius is at 15 degrees that day. And at that time, too, Uranus in Taurus is at 15 degrees. Now, if you've been following the eclipse story in Scorpio and Taurus for the last year, it's going to be a year and a half. We're getting close to it right now. And you have fixed parts of your chart, fixed signs, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius. You have them around 13, 14, 15, 16 degrees. You have had Uranus in your world messing with it. And Saturn at one point was in Aquarius, but now on this day, the sun's at 15 degrees and squaring off with Uranus. There's a surprise here that day. Friday into Saturday, there's a little bit of a curveball that's thrown in here. And, I think Uranus kind of has its way a little bit with the sun in Aquarius, but it's a fixed sign square. Man, those are the toughest, man. Those are the tightest, toughest squares and challenges you can get. So something here in that story in the Aquarius and Taurus part of your chart are connecting with each other, and there's a standoff, and there's something that could come out of the blue here. Something to Aquarius doesn't really get rattled, but there's something to get thrown off course. It can seem that way. And there's a reason for it, because Uranus's thing is to shake things up. There's a purpose to it. The subconscious purpose coming from a more modern psychological astrology perspective, you know, it's there as a lightning bolt to uproot and to shake things up that become normal and demand a more progressive evolution vibe of growth, right? Something new has to come in, and that's what Uranus does. So it kind of does that to the Aquarius sun, and it does that to anybody who's got fixed placements at 15, 14, 15, 16 degrees. So it's a little chapter in a longer story. And I will stop here and say too, if you made it this far, that the eclipse, there's an eclipse that's going to happen here in May. And it's a big one because that eclipse, and I'm just wanting to get the exact time of things, is going to happen. There's an eclipse that happens on April 20th at 29 degrees Aries. I won't get into that. But basically, May 5th, there's a lunar eclipse that happens at 14 degrees Scorpio, pretty much connected to this particular day of 15 degrees Sun and Uranus at 15 degrees. Now, I could take it another way too with you. November 8th of 2022, there was that two series eclipses in the fall that were intense. And November 8th was a lunar eclipse at 16 degrees Taurus. You could see the 14, 15, and 16 degrees that I'm talking about here. So when we get to May 5th of 2023 on our way there, this is another trigger point in the eclipse story. Little things like this little old regular February 3rd Friday might not seem much, but there is. And sometimes you don't notice this till later on, when you start to connect the dots and chapters of a story. And I like to do this in my podcast and my YouTube thing, especially some of you are studying astrology and going along like, oh, you're looking at the big days and the big transits. But sometimes when you look at the moon or the sun, Venus and Mars, and they're activating these degrees, this is where you kind of see it in your face, you know. There's the other Uranus, Pluto, Neptune, they do their work behind the scenes, and you will see it come out in front of you in the real world when these other smaller planetary bodies and stories hit those points. That those are like the true actors on stage, and then you got the puppet masters of Uranus, Pluto, Neptune playing their game, you know what I'm saying? So that's the way I kind of look at it. That's a side tangent about Friday. Just an interesting day, Friday. We get to Saturday, Saturn's day, which, by the way, it's been an interesting four Saturdays now in a row where Saturn and Aquarius, for those of you who are into doing electional work and astrological magic and creating talismans and making an electional chart, which electing a chart is like constructing a certain chart that has a certain meaning where certain planets are relating to each other in a certain way. And then with that chart to create something in those moments, that's a really weird way to explain it. But we've had three Saturdays in a row where if you're doing Saturn work, you've had some good days to do work. And I can say this because 3 weeks ago there was a Saturday where Saturn was, where I am on the West Coast, was on Saturday, and Saturn was on the ascendant of the chart during Saturn's hour, which is the first hour of the day when the sun is rising. So a lot of people who have been do work like this, they like that day. And then there was the new moon a week later in Aquarius. And then there was a couple days later. So you could see this. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because for people who are doing this kind of work, it just only lasts so much longer. Saturn's going to leave Aquarius and be gone in March 7th into Pisces. And Saturn is at home in the sign of Aquarius. So people doing old school astrological magic and elections, you're working with planets. You want to work with planets in situations where the planet is at its home, where it's functioning thoroughly and well. And that's what Saturn does in the sign of Aquarius. That's a little side thing. Okay, we're back to Saturday. Thanks for listening to that part. But we're back to Saturday. And at 12:48 a.m., the moon enters Leo. Important. We get into a fixed sign here. I talked a little bit about the fixed sign and the eclipses, and I will bring up, you know, the moon's going to square the north node in Taurus at 4:50 that day, continuing the eclipse story. And then you have Well, the moon makes a trine. Let's get this out of the way because this is good too. This is so interesting. The moon in Leo is going to vibe with Jupiter in Aries that day, which is great, and you're going to get that every month until May. But there's the, and then the moon squaring, you know, the North Node in Taurus. But here's the interesting thing of the day, and this is something I think is another big chapter of the week, along with what I'm going to talk about next after this. Is Venus in Pisces that day, and we'll just get it mathematically correct, is at 11 degrees. And at that point too, Mars in Gemini is at 11 degrees. So here we have a Venus-Mars square that happens, and part of this Venus in Pisces transit that's, you know, started earlier this past week and goes on for 3 weeks. Venus is going to move through Pisces really fast. But, you know, this, a lot of people like this transit. I understand why, because Venus is feeling good, what they call in old school astrology terms, exalted in the home of Pisces. So it's functioning there. It flows there. I call it like it's super posh vacation home for the senses and beauty. And there's just good love and good vibes and dream world, creative love, divine love, you know, boundaryless love, the ideal and the romance and the eroticism of Venus in Pisces. Well, it squares off with Mars and Gemini of the mind power that day. And that kind of builds up to actually the whole week, to be honest. You could go back to the beginning of this podcast where I started off with the moon in Gemini on Monday, where it squared that Venus in Pisces. You feel me now? You can go back there, and it's a little pre chapter for what builds up into Friday and Saturday for the exact square of Mars and Venus that happens. So that's a major point, I think, in for the weekend. And this is hard, you know. This is a challenge. At the same time, Venus and Mars squaring off each other, it's hot. It can be like, you know, bringing up some interesting tensions, and can be used and utilized in a way with Venus and Mars relating to each other. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's an argument. It's squaring off possibly. At the same time, it's like it creates tension and a certain type of tension and attraction to each other. So you look to the Gemini and Pisces part of your chart for that tension. Then we get to Sunday, February 5th. Okay, moon is still in Leo. It's going to make in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, 2:38 in the morning, something like that. Vibe with that Chiron in Aries. See, Chiron's had a busy week, huh? Multiple hits from the moon, from good ones with Gemini moon to a square with the Cancer moon. And then, you know, here's the Leo moon vibing with it, because Leo moon is fire. Chiron in Aries is fire. So then there's this like, look at me, see me, put me in the world, you know, and that's what the moon's helping Chiron do. Then 7:08 Pacific time, the moon's going to then, that fixed moon in Leo is going to square off with Uranus, who has been part of the week too, right? So you see how this goes. And then most importantly, at 10:28 a.m., we have, I'm being dramatic here, a full moon in Leo. Let me get this straight, at 16 degrees and change. That means the sun in Aquarius is at 16 degrees and the moon is 180 degrees opposite. This is an opposition of the moon in Leo at 16 degrees. And if we go back to this week at Uranus at 15 degrees Taurus, you could see now the importance and the buildup to this full moon. For fixed signs, another major chapter in the eclipse story of Taurus Scorpio, of stuff that's been going on since 2021 of the fall. I always bring this up. This is a big one. Uranus is in between these two, squaring the sun in Aquarius and squaring the moon in Leo. So an unpredictable, out of the blue need for independence and to break down what has become normal for the Aquarius, even the Aquarius sun, who already had some interesting thing happen several days before, like I said on this podcast. So there was already a hint of this. And then the Leo moon's going to catch this. And the Leo moon, you know, its function is to see me, be me, look what I've made and done, look at my creativity, and look how I've created confidence, Leo moon, in expressing my true nature. And how sexy and sensual that is, and how full of fire, fire equals ego. I'm not saying bad way. I'm just saying what the fire signs do. And so anybody who's got a Leo moon, planets in Leo, you're definitely affected by this. If you're anything in fixed signs, like I mentioned earlier, at these degrees, maybe the title of this podcast when I write it is going to be like fixed some things. I got to come up with it. But it's going to be at these degrees, and Uranus is a major player in all this. And so there's a what they call a T-square happening here. And since I mentioned the eclipse that's going to happen in May, this particular week and weekend is connected to that. If you haven't already noticed as a fixed sign or having planets in these fixed places, you haven't noticed the changes happening in the last year and a half, I would be surprised. You're in the heart of it still. And, you know, this is connected to last summer. I mean, Uranus is just came out of retrograde. It went retrograde and went all the way back to, you know, these 12, 13, 14 degrees area and fixed in Taurus, which affects the same degrees I keep talking about. So, you know, what you want to do is ride the lightning of Uranus. You want to take advantage of, you know, uprooting and things completely being like unpredictable. You want to use this because you know the changes happening in the Taurus part of your chart, Aquarius, and now the Leo part of your chart. And this affects the Scorpios too. So, you know, you have a situation here where there's something that you can never go back to something, that it's about a new way of moving forward, a new way of being. Now, depending on how someone is holding on to the past, I think a full moon like this in those fixed signs at those degrees can come across hard and bring some intensity and hardship. If you've already gotten the clues during the eclipses, then you can pull this off and know what's up, knowing that you're also going to have that major eclipse in May that's going to hit this point. So even after this full moon is going to be done, you're not done knowing there's other chapters to this. There's a couple other things that day, which kind of actually helps out. Mercury will be at 22 degrees Capricorn, making our harmonious, our optimistic sextile relationship with Neptune and Pisces. This is more water and earth together. So this kind of helps out. This brings some creativity and stability possibly to be used with this sudden changes, with the variety and unpredictable stimulation that comes from this change in freedom planet of Uranus. And so, you know, here's another situation of wanting to express one's own self possibly with this full moon, because that's what the Leo moon does. It's what the sun in Aquarius does in a different way. It's autonomy and wanting space to be its individualistic self and to separate itself from what is normal. So the Mercury-Neptune sextile here can actually help in communicating that, but it needs to be accessed. It can't just be done wildly riding the lightning, you know. And I hope a little bit of that makes sense there. Let's just remember that with fixed energy, it's the most stubborn, I think, of the modalities of the signs and the hardest to change. But if they've been riding that change here for the last year, it is not as hard. So, you know, that's one way to look at this particular full moon. You know, I'm always gonna try to preach a positive way of doing things, you know, but sometimes you get pissed off, you know, and sometimes it just doesn't flow that way. And if you can recognize what you're in that situation, then it's what you do with that kind of energy, whether you're pissed off or you're angry or you're needing to break free. It's how you do it, you know, how you do it. And sometimes people are in situations that are so intense and confined and at a breaking point that they just have no other choice. And by their actions, by them taking care of themselves, you know, there's collateral damage. Other people might not understand why the need for the change or the severing or whatever. And there's only so much you can do. A lot of times, and I know this with working with clients for years now, that most of the reason why clients come to me is because they already know what they have to do. They're just scared to do it. And they're scared to do it because of the byproduct of the action. They're going to hurt somebody close to them. Their family's not going to understand. No one's going to understand. Or they have some trauma or some hurt from the past that is just like, it's hard for them to make moves. And you know, what happens is certain life situations come and where you're tested or you have a chance to make a choice or make a move. But most of the time it's hard to do because of the fear factor or not flexing the muscles of metaphorical muscles of making the changes or just not knowing how to do it. And in particular to the last thing that I said, when you don't know how to do something, but you know the feeling inside you, that's a tough place because you have to like find the tools to bring out what you intuitively know that you have to do. And it's just, how do you do it? So if you don't have the training, you don't have the tools, or if you haven't been shown, that's where things can get really stuck. So one way to look at this full moon, when it deals with the Leo part of your chart, the Aquarius parts of your chart, the Taurus, the fixed parts of your chart, is to try to find the ways to use something new to bring in to help you express your individuality, to express what you intuitively know you have to do, and to apply it. Sometimes you're forced into things and you do it, like I mentioned earlier, but if you're not completely forced and you feel like you have a little bit of control over decision-making, this might be intense, but at the same time, you can manifest and bring in things to help you, or the client, I would say, make a move. And this is where one starts the path of breaking free of what has become habitual and what has become normal. That's the thing off the top of my head about this full moon. I mean, I could say a lot more. There's other parts of that day, you know, with I can add the planets, but I just kind of stick to it easy. I also, you know, we're coming out of a place here where there's no more planets retrograde. Things are starting to move forward, and you got a full moon like this, and it can propel you through challenge. Other people are going to have some of these aspects harmoniously connect with them in their charts. The biggest thing in the end, let's just say with a Leo moon, is I think if one were to be balanced, a Leo moon were to be balanced, that not only they are expressing their ego core self, their core connection to the sun, which is the will and creative light that we all need, that we all use as fuel to walk in this world, to creatively express that. And at the same time, what comes from that creativity is generously shared with the world, with others, if possible. That's kind of the goal of the Leo moon. It's not just see me, look at me, touch me, pet me. Yeah, it is, but you don't want it to just be there. Then it's unbalanced. The other part of it's like, hey, look what I made. I want to share it with you. Isn't this beautiful? And it gives one a connection to the universe, that life force that drives us, that drives our sexuality, that drives our pleasures, that drives engaging in the world. So when it's balanced, Leo moon is an amazing, amazing thing, and it needs to be seen and acknowledged. That's the other part of this, you know, the confidence to express oneself, but it does need the world to interact with it. And it doesn't have to be based on unbalanced ego, darkness, and selfishness. It's this other thing of like, let us this shared creativity and this shared beauty. Is that how I'm going to end my podcast? I think I am. Another rant, another thing off the top of my head. And thank you for those who have been consistently listening to this and hanging in there with me as I try to put out something every week. I'm working on something for YouTube right now for this week. I might do a full moon video for YouTube, actually, with the visual parts of it. Who knows? And if you're into any of this and you have the ability to rate the podcast or to say a positive thing or to share it, please do. I'm a year into this now, I'm like, all right, I'm doing it. I somehow pull this one off too again. And if you want to know more about who I am, you can go to my website, sparklesofgold.com. I'm on Instagram. You can follow me there. Definitely on YouTube. It's Sparkles of Gold Astrology on YouTube. I have a Patreon too. I got some people there who have been supporting me and my tasks and my dream. Most of all, though, what the real reason why I do this, and I'm going to give you an insight to who I am. My South Node in Leo is at where this full moon is, and I'm having a fourth house year. I would say for those who know astrology, you know, and a Leo sun year in a sense. And I've been expressing myself and showing myself, but in the end, man, I live with my heart and, I do my best work privately, one-on-one with clients. I love it. I love it. I love connecting with people and they have their story and their narrative. They come in and they express that. And I express myself and we communicate and we try to find ways to understand themselves and what they can do when they're walking back out into the world to know that they can do whatever they want in this world, that the world is theirs, that the world is ours, that within all of us is this beautiful, surging, pure light of joy, creativity, and love. And that's how I roll in the end. With these podcasts, the YouTube, and one-on-one. Thanks for listening. I'll see you on the next one.